When I hear those harsh words in Mark's gospel, I wince. What is Jesus telling us? What is the good news here? Where is that peaceful and welcoming shepherd, or that mysterious companion we met on the road to Emmaus at the parish retreat last weekend? Where did he go? Well, my friends, that peaceful leader is still in there somewhere, but today we have to wrestle with some fire and violence before we can get to the good news. So, unquenchable fires of hell, drowning as punishment, serial amputations as a solution to stumbling. Where do we begin? For starters, let's go after that talk about hell. I hear the word and my mind jumps to something reminiscent of Dante's Inferno. But the disciples would have thought of something else. Gehenna, the Greek word here that is translated as hell, referred to an actual place, a physical location. It refers to the valley of the Son of Hinnom, a ravine south of Jerusalem. Centuries earlier, it had been used for sacrifices to other gods. And according to scriptural tradition, King Josiah had the place defiled. He filled it with trash, used it as a place to burn bodies, sent criminals there, and so forth, so that it would no longer be hospitable to these idolatrous sacrifices. It became a living hell, really, where the fire never went out. And the disciples and early Christians should have understood it as such. Not a place of eternal damnation, but one of sickly, smelly punishment, still among the ranks of the living, but only just barely. It is with this image in mind that Jesus tells the disciples that they would do better to cut off the part of themselves that makes them fall than go to this living hell. He isn't talking about what might happen after they die. He's naming the reality that so many of them are currently living, suffering under these burdens they're too afraid to shed. Walking back to Jerusalem, Jesus knows that he's running out of time to teach the disciples, and yet they're still bickering about who's the greatest and whether or not this other exorcist is legitimate, and so on. Jesus tries again, this time with more forceful language. He's not worried about them tripping over their feet, but rather he fears that they will fall away from the way, from his way. Jesus often describes discipleship as journey, as following him, as committing to that path. The more we stumble, and the more we cause one another to stumble, the more we will all fall away from this path. And so, I ask, what is causing you to stumble? Are you ready to let go of it? What are you waiting for? As I've chewed on these questions, I keep returning to the same story, to Annie's story. A few years ago, Annie was one of the most successful headhunters in her field at a huge international firm. She was highly competitive, highly sought after, was constantly winning awards for her work. She was pulling in a very impressive salary. She had made it. And on the other hand, she also had a lot of stress, pressure to perform, fit in, rise above, and help the company grow. The more successful she was, in the popular notion of success, that is, the harder it became for her to live her life authentically, to be healthy, to find balance. Colleagues joked about their inability to leave their desks to eat lunch or to go to the bathroom, but it was true, not funny. despite the figures, she wasn't really making a living, and I could see it was slowly crushing her spirit. Leaving wasn't such a simple option, though. What would she do instead? How would she maintain the comfortable lifestyle she had grown accustomed to working there? But then, how comfortable was it, really? Tough questions, confusing answers. After a lot of deep thought and careful discernment, Annie did eventually quit. She caught her breath, sought out health in lots of different ways, and began to make some changes in her life. Now, a couple of years down this new path, she has reemerged as a leader in environmental stewardship, focused on helping others re-examine and restructure their lives. She's been discovering what it is that makes her stumble and what makes all of us stumble. She's learning and now teaching ways to do strategic pruning and shed some of the dead weight that's been holding us all down and making us fall from our path. Sometimes these are big cuts, like selling a car and prioritizing other modes of transportation. Sometimes it's smaller changes, but ones that add up. Finding ways to use less water, waste less food, reach for a product that's reusable rather than just really convenient. What Annie has shown me is that what initially sounded like violent amputation in Mark's gospel can just as well be tender, careful pruning, clipping away that which we don't need anymore, refocusing our energy on the places where life is really taking off. Annie understands better than most that pruning is a slow process. Of course, there are some big, clear breaking points along the way, like leaving her high-powered job, but so much of this path is in those small decisions and daily habits, choosing our footing carefully, watching our step, helping each other catch our balance rather than tripping over each other and dragging one another down. Annie now self-identifies as a recovering overconsumer, as a sustainable living transitionist, both of which speak to the ongoing process inherent in her decisions. She has made some really amazing changes and progress as she whittles down her carbon footprint. And she's also the first to admit that she, like all of us, still has plenty of room to grow. Perhaps what I find most inspiring about Annie's example is the way that she has embraced this ongoing reflection and refinement as a way of life. This is indeed a way to make a living, even if the salary is quite different from what she was pulling in at that firm. But her actual living is so much richer, freed from those stumbling blocks. Annie is now more full of life, health, balance, and just sheer delight than she ever was at that old job. So, what is causing you to stumble? Are you ready to let it go? What are you waiting for? This commitment to continual growth and change reflects the rhythms of that natural world that Annie is so committed to preserving. I recall the practice of the Jeffrey Pines, for example, towering ponderosas that I saw by the thousand this summer. They leave so much open air down on the ground that it's almost like being in an outdoor cathedral. In large part, this is because Jeffrey pines are self-pruning. As they grow taller, their oldest, lowest branches begin to dry, curl up, and eventually these giants let their old branches go. They slowly self-prune because these lowest branches no longer receive the light they need to be productive, having been covered up by so many bigger branches up above. The trees simply don't need them anymore, and so they let go. They let them fall back to the earth where they can be useful again. This long-term self-pruning not only helps Jeffrey pines grow taller and stronger, it also protects them. When forest fires threaten them, they have a better chance at survival because they've shed these lower limbs, because they are constantly refining themselves. When a crisis comes, they are prepared. They can withstand it. I can't help but think that we are the same way. Like Annie, like the Jeffreys, we too can take stock of our lives, see what parts of us are more dead than alive, are making us fall down more than they are helping us stand tall. We can make the decision to let these parts go, cut them off, say goodbye, and continue on the path, our loads lightened. So what is it that's holding us back, that's making us stumble? Is it our complicated relationship with technology, so convenient, but sometimes so isolating and all-consuming? Or as Annie has observed, is it our drive to prioritize our own comfort over the well-being of our world? Is it our unhealthy habits, our addictions, our desperate need for a certain kind of success? Or is it our broken relationships, our uncompromising ego, our reluctance to apologize? As hard as it is to cut off these burdens and let them go, it is their presence, not their absence, that maims us. It is their parasitic attachment to us that causes us to stumble, that causes our neighbors to stumble, and that ultimately leads us into Gehenna, a living hell, here and now. Jesus teaches that there is another way. In the midst of this violent passage from Mark, this call to change is our good news. Following on his path, we are given the strength and wisdom to cut off these burdens and let them go. We are invited to live in the freedom of their absence. Prune yourself back to new life and let the rest go. Let the light in and boldly grow towards the heavens. And so I ask once more, what is it that's causing you to stumble? You don't have to wait any longer. Cut it off. Let it go.